Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be with you today. We have Nathan Davis today. Josh Miller on the Steelers today. Neil Coulong on the show today. So we have a lot going on today. And it's great to have all of you on board with us today as well. The national championship game was obviously a great show last night. And in watching it, it seems like that a certain broadcast entity was a little slow in the uptake as to that there was a second team in the game. I don't know if, knowing you, Sean, well, actually, probably the Soup probably watched Bill Walton on the Megacast.
That was so funny. Once I saw that pop on at 8 o'clock, I was this close to sending you a text. It's like he's decked out as Uncle Sam. That was too funny.
You know what? He's just flat out fun. It may be bizarro world, but it is fun bizarro world.
And you have he and Keyshawn Johnson, they're playing pitch and catch in the studio back and forth.
No, I couldn't watch it, okay? That's not my style. I have to take it a little more seriously than that.
Yeah. Walton was asking Keyshawn, why didn't you go to UCLA? Keyshawn was asking him, well, why didn't you go to USC?
Well, there are probably reasons on both sides. I'm not going to get into maybe some of the reasons he went to UCLA, but that's for another entity to look into. But wow.
Did you hang in there for the whole game?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Me too.
I had no problem watching the whole thing.
I was pushing 1 o'clock this morning when I finally went to bed.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Yeah, it's the Clemson wore down Alabama's defense. Now let's think of this. Just think of the season in this regard. Alabama has obviously a great defense. It doesn't take a genius. You know, they have a great college defense. There are going to be a lot of those guys that are playing on Sundays in the NFL. But Clemson ran 99 plays last night. And I don't think it's any strategically, it should not be a surprise that Clemson got something going in the fourth quarter, because how many times did the Alabama defense, which doesn't substitute a lot, how many times were they out there in the fourth quarter of games this year? I mean, which games were they out there in the fourth quarter of? They weren't even out there in the fourth quarter of the SEC championship game. They weren't even out there. I mean, they sort of were against Washington, but Washington's offense, which plays perfectly into what they do. As I told you, I think Browning is a good college quarterback. He's not a great college quarterback, despite what the people in Seattle tell you. I mean, really, name me the games where Alabama's defense was out there on plays 90 through 99 in a game this year. They weren't. They had a couple of decent games this year were, in terms of games that went into the fourth quarter, decent, but nothing where they had to fight and claw their way back and the whole thing. I mean, they were a front runner all year long, and there's nothing wrong with being a front runner. Nothing. Zero. That's not a criticism to say you've been a front runner all year long. But it does also mean that they weren't in this situation this year. That's the issue. Where now you're in a dogfight. And remember, Clemson came back not once, but twice. Came back, took the lead. Then to the credit of Alabama, they scored. And with 2 minutes to go, if you were going through a checklist of scenarios in a game, I'd be willing to say that most people would not have put on their checklist that Clemson would score to win the game with getting the ball with less than 2 minutes to go. But that's what they did. With less than 2 minutes to go, they got the ball, and they scored. And I mean, if you were to say Alabama's defense would give up a game-winning drive right after they gave up another game-winning drive. That is, I mean, and the lack of balance last night was, I mean, it was Alabama this and Sark that and Saban this and Sark that. I mean, Steve Sarkisian's name got mentioned more in the game, I think, than any player. Look, he's just calling plays. He's not, you know, he's also trying to call plays for a quarterback that's not built for this moment. I mean, this is a championship game. I mean, Jalen Hurts doesn't throw the ball well enough to mean to, no offense, but you give me a choice between Jalen Hurts and Trace McSorley. It doesn't take me long to go, I think I'll take 9. He's just not built for this. Now, next year, year after, when they settle in a little bit, he gets more experience, the game slows down for him, then he will be. But a game like that's too fast for him to play in. Way too fast. He just doesn't throw the ball well enough. That's why if you were Alabama, what was the one thing you worried about? That you would fall behind in the game and this guy would have to bring you back. Now, they did come back and take the lead. And they did so on a fabulous run that he made. But what was the pass play that got them down there? It wasn't the one he made. But they said, oh, yeah, Sark's got something in there. Yeah, things they practice. What? And then all of a sudden, Clemson ran a trick play. Oh, Clemson has trick plays, too. Looking around like, what the heck? You know, they were. I don't know. The end of the first half, Clemson calls a timeout, 1:22 to go. I thought it was brilliant because you had a possibility of a 2-for-none. Because they got the ball to start the second half, they never discussed it, never talked about it. They started talking about some kid's grandfather. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. I mean, I didn't know what to do about. I almost turned it off at that point.
I was kind of. I was going
seriously. I almost turned it off at that point because they weren't doing the game.
I was going back and forth between. I was on the Watch ESPN app, and I was listening to, they mixed in Eli Gold's call on Learfield to the video of the game, which was really cool. I was kind of bopping between that on my iPhone, and I'll be honest with you, I watched ESPN2 last night. I watched the homers with the triple box with the game on the left, and you had Joe Tessitore on the Alabama side and Adam Amin on the Clemson side. I thought that was pretty cool. That was
Yeah, we'll have Adam on the show this week. Yep. Talk about that.
Tomorrow, looking forward to that.
Yeah, that should be terrific having him on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Mark Vandermeer, the Texans play-by-play voice, on later in the week, too. So
yeah, but one thing I took from last night's game, Deshaun Watson, he is one tough customer.
That is a tough, tough guy.
Helicoptered around on one play. He ended up short, not getting the first down on the play when he got popped, but boy, he got turned around. Reminded me of Elway on that Super Bowl play when he got helicoptered in a play too on a quarterback run.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you one thing though. I watched that game last night. And I felt Alabama was close and skirted the edge of dirty play last night. I really did. I know they're flying around. They got great speed. There are a couple times they took Watson. They tried to grind him, and there was one time in the third quarter where one player took Watson's leg and twisted it. I'm like, well, what are you doing? And you know, and why wasn't it policed and cleaned up? It was not a well-officiated game last night. It just wasn't. Jabril Peppers, by the way, made it official. He is declared for the NFL draft. It's no surprise there. But he did declare today that he is going to go to the NFL draft. So now a linebacking core that was only strengthened by him moving there. I mean, that become. I mean, that was. One of the weakest parts of that football team were their linebackers until they moved him to the outside. But he is declared for the NFL draft, which is no surprise at all to anybody. We will take a break. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. The suit, the dance floor clears. That white jacket he wears to work every day, he's not waving it over his head. Women faint. It is the suit, Disco Inferno. Off to the side, suit light. All right.
He sends his best, by the way.
Who, suit light or the suit?
Suit one.
Big suit.
Big suit.
XL suit. Okay, got it. Yeah, I'm still going to send out his Rose Bowl program or whatever it was I got for him. Yeah. He wanted to know how much it costs. I probably should have told him $100.
Limited edition.
It's the only one they had, the whole place. $120. Thank you. I mean, how would he know? All right. How would he know? Penn State, by the way, finished 7th in the final AP poll. Just fine. But I like where they are. I like where they are, and I like what they have coming back on this thing. Nathan Davis, by the way, is going to join us at 3:35 today. Josh Miller at 4:06. Neil Coulong will join us then at 4:35 today. Clemson, they're going to have to replace Watson. They're still going to have a lot of players back. Hurts is just going to get a little bit better, obviously, for Alabama. I don't know how well he's going to be able to throw the ball. It's hard, kind of hard to tell with him as a freshman, you know, where he's going to be, because he just doesn't throw the ball well. Now that can certainly improve with time and game speed and things like that. But Alabama's going to have, they'll miss a lot of guys on defense. The odd thing is they really didn't have a lot of defensive depth. Because they didn't play a lot of guys on defense. And I think that finally hurt them last night when they had to run 99 plays. Had to be out there for 99 plays. They'll be good. Ohio State, which I think lost more to the draft than I wonder if they realized. Noah Brown declared for the draft. who advised him? I was shocked when I saw Noah Brown say, I'm going to come out for the draft. What? Based in the Oklahoma game? That was in September. Conley's really good. He opted for the draft. McMillan, really good. He opted for the draft. Malik Hooker, really good. He opted for the draft. Peppers has opted for the draft. But you look at where Penn State is. They got the best 1-2 punch in the league in McSorley and Barkley. Gesicki's back. You're going to get Nelson back. You're going to get Mann back to go with what they already have and what they're developing there up front. You know, wideouts. You know, defensively, Marcus Allen's going to stay. That's big. Haley's back. Reed is really good. You know, he'll be back. Campbell's back. Kabinda's back. It's all the kickers are back. So you got a real nucleus to work with and some addition to make in. Now, every team does take on its own personality. So, you know, not everything's going to be the same. There'll be certain guys in this lineup. I mean, let's face it, you are going to miss. And, you know, you're going to miss Godwin. You're going to miss Brandon Bell. Yeah, you'll miss Sickles. You'll miss Schwann. I mean, there's certain guys. I mean, you'll miss Malik Golden. There's no question you'll miss those guys. No question. But they're in a good spot in a league where Michigan is, you know, they'll get Spate back. I think Evans is their best tailback anyway. They got a big shoes to fill at tight end, although Bunting is a pretty good player. They're going to have to find some wideouts. And they're going to have to find some offensive linemen. Their defensive line of Michigan should be good. Their linebackers, no. Their secondary, Lewis is a big loss, even though he got exposed in the Orange Bowl. And, you know, I mentioned Ohio State. Michigan State is an interesting, Michigan State's in that gray area right now. But Penn State has a tough schedule next year. Think about this. They've got Pitt at home. They have to play at Northwestern, which is very good, at Iowa, which is very good, at Ohio State, at Michigan State, and at home, they've got Pitt, Michigan, and Nebraska next year. Now, that's a tough schedule. That's a very tough schedule. At Northwestern, at Iowa, at Michigan State, at Ohio State, and then home with Pitt, Michigan, and Nebraska. And you close out at Maryland. And you also have Indiana at home, too. And that's 9 of your 12 games right there. That's not an easy run. Now, when they're all of them are listing their schedules, they're all talking about, wow, we got Penn State on our schedule too. But still, Penn State goes through and puts together a really good season, they will have earned it. Nathan Davis, next half hour, we'll talk about Bucknell basketball. Then Josh Miller at 4:06, Neil Coulong at 4:35. And on the after show, Tales from the Suit. The Dave Ritchie edition.
Fresh episode.
I'm sure Dave has tales after every game. They're always fresh.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history. In 1950, Ben Hogan appeared for the first time in a golf tournament since an auto accident a year earlier. He tied Sam Snead in the L.A. Open. However, Hogan lost in a playoff. One of the really remarkable stories, how he came back from that. And just think about it, 1953, just 3 years later, he won the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the British Open, all in the same year. Now, that's remarkable. What a run. All right. Also, this day in sports history, 1962, the NFL entered into a single network agreement with CBS for all of its regular season games at $4.65 million per year. I think that's what they pay now for to do the first half of a game. Let's see. 1990, the NCAA approved a random drug testing program for college players. Harsh penalties also were put in place. And the NHL owners rejected the players' unrestricted free agency proposal and countered with a 3-year 32 and 3 at 31 in 1995. Time now to bring in the Fine Ed basketball coach at Bucknell, Nathan Davis. And Bucknell has been on a roll. Without question, they have been on a roll. And the way they've been playing, I think they won, four in a row here? I mean, pretty good run. I mean, winning Navy, beating Army, then American and Holy Cross. The great part of this is three of the four were on the road. So that's obviously a great run for them. Coach, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Always enjoy being on.
Yeah, same here. It's always great to have you on. In your wins here, the four in a row that you have, what are a couple of common threads that have been reliable for you in this streak?
I think the one thing that has actually been reliable is we've defended very well in the last couple of weeks, and frankly, we've been winning on the defensive end and making up for some mistakes offensively and some free throw shooting and things like that, but the defense has really been what's allowed us to win these games.
In fact, you've held three of the four opponents to 60 points or fewer in three of those four. When your defense travels, defense always travels. It's like a running game in football. It travels. You've gone on the road. What has that done to buy your offense even a little bit of time, and how much have you been able to translate some offense off your defense?
It's been invaluable. I think you hit it on the head. Defense travels. Defense plays at home. Defense is something you can control, on effort and concentration at that end. You can't always control whether the ball goes in or not. But if you can consistently get stops and give yourself a chance to make up for some mistakes, you give yourself a chance to win all those games. And that's been a big thing. We've had a few too many, I would say, careless turnovers at times, which has cost us possessions. We've had some guys step up that usually are good free throw shooters and miss it sometimes. And we've gone through stretches of hot and cold from the three-point line. But the one thing that's been there consistently so far is the defensive end has allowed us to overcome those.
It's one thing to have turnovers. The crusher is always if they're live ball turnovers. Have you stayed away from live ball turnovers?
I wish I could say yes, but I would be lying.
we can't have that, Nathan. We can't have you lying on the show.
The one thing we've had is with the teams we play, we haven't really played other than Army, anyone that's been an up-tempo team. With Navy, Holy Cross, and America, they're actually three of the slowest teams in the country. So the good thing has been when we have had those turnovers against them, they haven't really been attacking us to score in transition. That's going to change tomorrow.
Yeah, that is definitely going to change tomorrow. I don't have any question about that because this is a completely different style. Have you been able to get as many, on the defensive end, one-and-dones where you're not giving up a lot of offensive rebounds and second chances?
We have. I think we've done a better job of finishing plays and blocking out. Now, to be fair, at the same time, like with American and Holy Cross, they're two teams that are really concentrating on slowing the tempo down, so not sending very many guys to the offensive glass. Again, we'll get a better idea about where we really are with some of that stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, no question about that. In terms of overall team play, I asked you this before, but now through the four games, have you settled into a pretty decent rotation, or again, is that still a work in progress?
I think we're closer. I think we're getting there. I think we're getting more consistency out of some guys. But again, it's still early January, so to say it's a work in progress, I think would be accurate.
Yeah, and people don't realize the players actually determine who plays. I mean, you may be the one that makes the final determination, but they tell you who's going to play based on how they practice, correct?
Absolutely. Practice, going back to workouts, practice, games. One of the great things about coaching is you typically don't end up having to make the decision. Usually the players make it for you.
All right. When you look inside, have you been able to get good internal passing inside that can sometimes make a difference in an inside game?
Yes, I think we have. I think that both Zach, Non, all those guys inside are very unselfish. Sometimes, frankly, they're a little bit too unselfish and need to finish stronger through people. But I think that they do a good job of not forcing it, trusting their teammates, and kicking it back out when it needs to be.
What kind of progress did you make in a basketball-only situation in practice since there was some off time from school? What kind of progress did that allow you to make with the players?
I think offensively we're much crisper. I think that we're getting better movement. I think that we've been able to get more of a routine, which has helped their bodies a little bit as far as being more rested. We've been able to focus in and not being able to do a lot more with film, to be honest with you, because we've had time without guys running in and out of class and things like that to really try to teach and learn and improve.
It's one thing to have guys buy in offensively. And I'll be frank with you. I just watched two NBA guys. Miles Bridges is going to be a lottery pick. I think Nick Ward's going to be a first-round pick. And when you watch the tape and then you see them in person, they're far more interested in playing offense, which if I had their skills, so would I. But what does it take for guys to buy in defensively in order to make a winning team and a winning program?
Well, that's a good question, and I think a lot of it comes back to the leadership you have on your team. I think we're fortunate this year, especially with Stephen Brown and Nana being captains, that they really buy in defensively and are outstanding defenders. And if they're playing defense, it's hard for someone else to slack off and say, well, I'm not going to do it when your best players are doing it night in, night out, practice in, practice out. Like, we were actually talking today in practice. One of the great things was going over some stuff for Lehigh, and they're yelling at each other about defending and not doing it right and not having to say a word.
Right.
They're getting on each other about getting it right and getting through stuff and doing things. And it's nice when it comes from your peers as opposed to the coaches all the time.
No question. When your peers are doing it, it makes a big difference. I know in Alabama football, they talk all the time that sometimes they rerun a drill because the players are mad at the younger players for not running it right. I mean, that's completely different.
Absolutely.
Give us an idea of what you like in Kimball McKenzie.
I mean, I've been saying it over and over again. I think he's a tough kid. I think that he's not afraid of the moment. I think he's really competitive. He doesn't act like or play like a sophomore. He carries himself more like a senior. And because of that, he's been able to step up and make plays. And really, you go back to it, what's allowed him to do that is that he's a very good defensive player. And so you can live with some mistakes knowing that you're getting the effort at the other end.
Nathan, defensively, we've talked about the defensive end here a lot. What difference does footwork make defensively that allows you to maybe gain an advantage?
I think this is an important thing you hit on. I think the two most important things defensively are footwork and initial positioning. If you're taking bad steps or you're late, that's when you get fouls or you give up baskets. So I think we've done a much better job of being in position on catches, whether it's being in position to guard the ball or being in position to help. So we're only having to recover one way as opposed to trying to go recover and get back. And then especially with the way the game is now, you see so many ball screens. If your footwork and getting through ball screens is off, you're in trouble.
How have you felt about transition defense?
Again, fortunately, in three of the four games, we've had teams that weren't really looking to get up and down, so it's been really good. Against Army, I thought for the most part it was good. We had a stretch in the second half where it was poor. It's something that we're working on. Again, we'll have a better idea in the next few games. We play some teams that are more up-tempo to get a feel for it. I think it's better, but again, we'll see.
And then you mentioned Lehigh. What is it about Lehigh that makes them explosive and makes them a tough guard?
Well, they have a guy with a post presence in Tim Kempton. He's got 6'9", 240, that can score this back to the basket, can step out and shoot. Somewhere you can kind of go where you can always get a pretty good shot. And they surround him with guys that are good offensive players.
Like Ross.
Ross is excellent off the dribble, and he can make the three. Price and LaFroy are talented offensive guys. So they always have three or four guys on the floor with Kempton that can score in a variety of ways. So being locked in on your job, not worrying about what someone else is doing and doing what you need to do. I know Bill Belichick says it all the time. You got to do your job. You got to understand what we're trying to do. You got to do your job, and you're going to have to do it right almost every time, or we're going to be in trouble.
You're 5-1 in Soika so far this year. What do you see in your? You want your players to play well no matter where you are. You are 5-1 there. What do you see from them when they're in that environment?
I think it's honestly a lot of the same thing we see when we've been on the road, is that we're pretty focused. We don't get rattled. I should say we are. If we do, it's not for an extended period of time. We seem to be able to get ourselves out of it. And when you're at home with your crowd behind you, it should be even harder, you know, to get rattled. And that certainly helps.
Against American, you hit 17 of your last 19 free throws over the last 7 minutes. What did you see in that moment in the ability to close a game?
I thought it was great. I mean, I think that it's hard to win any game. You know, it's hard to win league games. It's really hard to win league games on the road. And you've got to do those things. And free throws, that goes back to just a mental toughness type deal. It's guys concentrating, focusing on the task at hand, and stepping up and knocking them down. And I think that on the year, our free throw percentage isn't great, obviously, at 66%. But we have consistently so far, I mean, knock on wood, this year made them at the end of games. I know a couple weeks ago we were about 80% in the last 2 minutes. Which is, if you're going to make them at one point in the game, that's the time to make them.
Right, exactly. In a practice, what percentage of the time do you spend on situational basketball, such as a four-minute situation, such as a two-minute situation, a one-minute?
You know, at this time of year, not as much, because we've seen a bunch of it. I don't do, and I'm different than a lot of people, I don't like kind of setting up those situations. What we do is we do a lot of 4- and 5-minute or 6-minute segments where we're working on something, and we'll play it out at the end of that period. So that we'll get some of those throughout the day, but we're not sitting down going, okay, you're down 2, you got the ball here, and they got a timeout. We don't do as much of that as we do, okay, we've played for 8 minutes, it's now a one possession game, you got to get a stop to get the ball back, and we'll play it out from there.
Do you feel Stephen Brown is developing into an extension of your staff right now?
I think not only I think he is, but I think a lot of guys are. Again, being in the second year now, we got a lot better feel for each other and what we're looking for, understanding of what's going on, and it honestly goes both ways, and where guys are comfortable, where they like to get the ball. It's just the more and more you're around, the more and more comfort you get with each other.
Well, it's a big game tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Soika against Lehigh. Thanks for your time. Best of luck as you try to keep it going.
I appreciate it. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Coach.
Bye.
Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. What a job. They're 4-0 right now in conference play. What a start. And 3 of those 4 have been on the road. Next half hour, we'll bring in Josh Miller to talk about the Steelers and to see if they have any extra boots. I mean, I understand that, you know, I mean, Ben's, I guess, going to play the game in a boot. Is that what I heard?
No, come on.
You know, I mean, you know, it's going to be an ice storm there.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, boots, slides, and ice. Back goes Ben, slid in the boot. Are we having a press conference to announce about the suit doing Shikellamy football next year?
Oh, you know something I don't? I haven't heard anything.
I thought Filaza was great. I just, because if Mike's coming back to do it, then I'll go to that press conference.
Okay. Strategically have it at like maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday.
At Penn's Tavern.
There you go. Done.
I'm sorry, but you have to think the way I think. I mean, we could pick up like Mifflin County or something. We put the suit there, couldn't we?
Just out there for doing some basketball games for the Christmas tournament. Shikellamy was out there for that.
It just kind of make him think we're picking up the games. Just some thoughts.
Yeah.
Random thoughts in a random mind. Give me an S. Give me a U. Give me an I. Give me a T. What's it spell? Okay. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. I'm glad we could make Drew laugh this morning about that.
That's what's all
here
about.
You're on News Radio 1070. I know. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, I forgot about that story you told me about the suit quieting down the band at the game.
He was trying to get them to dial it back so they wouldn't get nailed with an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
82% of the people we polled at Danville games want him back on Shikellamy football. And it appeared that several of them were from Rebecca. Kept using aliases. What the heck? Oh, well. Okay, Bucknell tomorrow night, Eagle 107, by the way, with Doug Birdsong, who does his usual outstanding job. They go for their fifth straight win. They'll take on Lehigh at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening at Soika. 5-1 at Soika this year. And again, you want to be able to play well home and away, regardless. But they've already shown they can play away. They've won three of their four Patriot games away from home. But still they're 5-1 at Soika. And they've settled into a nice comfort zone there, which they'll need tomorrow night when they take on certainly an explosive Lehigh team. And Kempton inside is really, really good. He and Nana Fallon will be. That's a great matchup. Or if you throw Zach Thomas in there, it's a great matchup. Either way. So Doug will have the call of that tomorrow night. I asked Doug about doing the basketball games alone. He says, after football season, I need the break. I didn't know what that meant.
I don't know how he does it solo, to be honest with you. Man.
He's amazing.
He is.
So, I mean, I'll tell you, Doug can do any sport. I mean, Doug can do any sport, and he does every sport alone. You know, except for football, obviously, because he's got help from the multi-talented suit. But, I mean, I give Doug all the credit in the world. I mean, my job is is exponentially easier. You know, let's just take the basketball part, because I've got a guy like Dick Girardi. I mean, Dick's amazing. You know, all the things he points out. We have a good time working. We have a lot of laughs working together. The whole deal. And Doug's out there as a one-man show and just does a great job. All the time. Doug's really, really good at what he does. Really good. Yeah, he's a real pro's pro. Let's see. Jabril Peppers declared for the NFL draft today. That was really no surprise. So he'll forego his senior season. He actually had 2 years of eligibility remaining because he redshirted. He played a little bit his freshman year, but he redshirted. Carl Edwards is going to retire from NASCAR. That was really surprising. Dabo Swinney says that the ACC is the best conference in the country. I don't blame him for being loyal, but no. No. There's no gauntlet to run in that conference. This conference, the fourth best team's Wisconsin.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.